Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Winds up and crank going away, but here's a breakaway now. Here's Cizikas going in with a shot right on, and Hauser makes two saves. Buck goes in behind the net. He takes the shot, and Hauser beats him, and Buffalo wins it in a shootout.
We'll make that a first moment of the game, shall we? The call from Rick Jenrett last night, and the first moments of the game brought to you by First Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
One problem. The Sabres sent out a list of players picking their own goal songs, what they would be.
Yeah, I knew a lot of those songs.
Yeah. Bjork, who scored in the shootout and scored two, he wasn't on the list. So we can't play his. Reinhart wasn't on the list. He scored a bunch lately.
He should have been on the list, yeah. I mean,
this is Matthias Samuelsson's song, Kickstart My Heart.
Is that what it is?
He chose this one.
It sounded like Zeppelin to me for a moment. All right.
We need to know. It's Motley Crue. We need him to score soon. Every song on the list, there are a bunch of good ones. Rasmus Ristolainen's was Who Let the Dogs Out, which is funny. Every song on the list is better than the current goal song. So, you know, if we're going to go individual players for goal songs, we can do that. The Capitals have done that, I think. A couple teams have done that.
Yeah, it's like walk-up music in baseball.
Yeah.
Each guy gets his own, yeah.
Matt Hunwick was I'm Still Standing by Elton John. There's
really?
Some funny ones in there.
Because he's still in the league. Got it.
Yeah.
I assume that's because he's still in the league, or was it?
Yeah. Reinhart wasn't on the list. Cousins wasn't. Eichel, Skinner, you know, some of the guys that score didn't make that list for whatever reason. I'm sure, you know, down the line maybe they get their own goal song. But anyway, I liked Samuelsson's. It was good. Kickstart My Heart.
We will get some calls in. We'll get to a little football here, too. Hey, if you're just joining us, happy Wednesday. We spent the first hour doing some hockey. Tom Wilson not being suspended. Your thoughts? I mean, you're not really surprised, obviously. It's the NHL. And how boring the overtime has become. 803-0550 to join us this morning. If there's anything else you want to get to, we're all ears. We're always here. You don't have to call about the topic we're discussing at the moment.
Well, I'm going to tease something because we are going to get to some football throughout the morning. The 49ers, there's a story on the 49ers draft that I think is tough to beat in terms of the craziest draft story yet.
We'll get to that. Dave in Niagara Falls, I guess. You're on WGR. Go right ahead. All right, hold on. Dave, you got to turn your radio down there, dude. We'll try and get back to you in a little bit. Why don't you do your 49ers story? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, we'll do the 49ers story.
Yeah.
So the Niners were the pivot point of the draft, right? All that talk about, is it going to be Trey Lance or Mac Jones? They traded up to number three. And 31 days, this is a story from, it's on NFL.com. And Kevin Cole tweeted it out. So, but this is from Jim Trotter. 31 days after making that trade, Shanahan looked Lynch in the eyes and asked, are you ready to draft Trey? There was silence and then smiles. Are you, and Lynch says, are you bleeping with me? Don't bleep with me. Trey Lance was the player Lynch desired for some time, but he kept it to himself to avoid polluting the process. He thought Shanahan felt the same way, but it's one thing to believe it and another thing to hear it. Later that morning, they informed club CEO Jed York, who was equally excited. They had not discussed which guy they liked the most.
Okay, so now we had seen the story I was under the impression Lynch and Shanahan knew what they were doing, and the two of them didn't share it with anybody else. So what you're telling me is
the GM
and the coach never actually talked about which guy to draft?
31 days after moving to the number three spot, they actually said the name of the guy. They had not talked.
So I feel like I would have felt like when the GM, like perhaps the GM would have gone to the head coach and said, hey, look, I got a shot at moving up to three. What do you think? Who do you want? Is there a guy that you absolutely have to have? We know who's going to one. We pretty much know who's going to two. I can get us to three. Who's the guy? Wouldn't you like have that conversation before you make the trade?
Well, sure. I mean,
or do you just go up knowing we're going to get one of the quarterbacks, and then
we just
have to research which one?
We're going to get somebody. But if you disagree, I would think you would want to know that you disagree.
Yeah.
A month out.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't want to. I don't hate to use the term saddle the coach with a quarterback he didn't want, but yeah, saddle the coach with a quarterback he didn't want.
Yeah, and the story's over and over. I'm convinced it's going to be Mac Jones. Think of all the times that it was leaked about who they like. No, guys, I'm telling you, they love Mac Jones. Were Shanahan and Lynch individually – were they smoke screening each other?
Well, or
– because the story – there were leaks all over the place about what the Niners wanted. All the Mac Jones stuff ended up being very wrong. You know, oh, Kyle Shanahan's going to love how this guy fits in the system. So they hadn't talked about it, and yet it might have been the most active storyline in terms of sources say which quarterback they wanted.
For sure it was. It was, no question about it, because, you know, it's funny. I would guess that either Lynch had used it as a smokescreen by getting the word out. It's funny, I was going to tell you, okay, Lynch was using it as a smokescreen, or Shanahan, someone who knows Shanahan, talked to Shanahan, and he said, yeah, the guy I love is Mac Jones. But then it doesn't jive with the soundbite you played for us. He doesn't – the way he plays, the type of player Mac Jones isn't the guy that fits into what Shanahan wants from a quarterback. So that's why I'm very confused now. I would have said it was Shanahan smokescreening, that they had talked. They both wanted Lance, but Shanahan liked – Jones, and the more he and Lynch did their research, you're like, you know, yeah, okay, well, Lance is good. We'll make it work with this kid. But that's confusing. I would think you would think the GM and the guy who designs the offense and is the principal right play caller and is the head coach and is the guy who's going to be really tasked with developing the quarterback, you'd think they would actually talk and say, listen, I got a shot to go to three. Should we? Who's the guy?
I mean, it's like some sort of passive-aggressive relationship or communication where rather than just ask John Lynch, according to Jim Trotter here, says he didn't want to pollute the process, which I get that. That makes sense. Like, that's the kind of thing where you'll hear that sometimes in a draft. The GM, right? I think Tim Murray told us this, that he got a bunch of scouts in a room. You're all sitting there on draft day.
Yeah.
And as the GM, I feel like I remember Murray saying, as the GM, I don't want to say who I want. Because I don't want any of them to agree with me just to make me happy. So I'm going to go last so I get their honest opinion. Who does everybody like? Okay, this is who I like. Now let's talk about it. So for John Lynch to say, to tell Jim Trotter he didn't want to pollute the process, maybe he simply meant, like, if I tell Shanahan, then everybody in the organization knows, the coach and the GM like this guy. So our scouting, our evaluations, we're going to want to line up with the guys that run the organization. Which,
yeah.
I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But the other part of it that's kind of just kind of funny is if you're Shanahan and you're thinking, all right, or you're Lynch, like you're saying, the smoke screen. I don't want to pollute the process. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Adam Schefter. I'm going to tell him I like Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if Shanny storms down here and says, like, you see this? They say we like Mac Jones.
That's,
you know,
that's
and
funny.
That never happened.
That's funny.
Point. So the whole thing is it's kind of fascinating, and I think it's a crazy story that those two are just happen to be on the same side in a way that is, you know, if you could take it for what it's worth, which I have no reason not to believe it, the polluting the process – to me, that makes sense. That does jive with what you'll hear a lot about GMs and scouts.
But wouldn't it be bad, the whole polluting the process, and by the way, I'm now in my head, I'm seeing that video of Harry Roseman and Tom Donahoe and the cold fish bump, whatever, fist bump on the, anyway, you saw that video, right? Donahoe and Roseman in the Eagles draft room? When Donahoe kind of gave him the old...
And he did not fist bump.
Yeah, and he's kind of like pouting in the corner. It was so funny.
Didn't want to fist bump.
I'm like, I'm figuring Lynch and... Is Lynch worried Shanahan will do that? I guess I would... The polluting the process thing, I understand it, but I would worry... you know, I would hope you have a GM that does want everybody to give their input and isn't going to say, listen, you know, that guy over there, that scout over there, listen, we're going to fire him after the draft. He's just got to go with what I think is right. I don't get this whole, you're wrong. I would like to believe I've got an open room where I can get input and it, and people aren't afraid to say, have a debate about, but I think it's Justin Fields or I think it's Mac Jones because Lynch rules with an iron fist.
But it's not about being afraid. It's about, you know, whether you're primed for it or all of a sudden you realize, listen, I you do it unconsciously or subconsciously. Yeah. I've got two guys pretty close, and the GM likes that guy.
You're
you know what?
Yeah,
he said something, and he's right about that. I think that too. You just, I mean, Daryl Morey talks about this all the time. He's at the time he was the GM of the Houston Rockets, how he would not allow his scouts to compare a player to another player, just the idea that, like, no, because all that does is it reveals your bias. Like, you want to come in this with as objectively as possible. You know, trying to figure out your own biases, especially with evaluation of players, is going to be it. That's why sometimes these meetings, you know, if you interview a player, you like this player. Ooh, they fit perfectly. You get along. This. That can actually be a detriment to the scouting process because you'll overlook some of the flaws and say, yeah, but I had a good feeling about that guy. Sometimes that might be right. Sometimes that might be wrong. You know, sometimes it's not more information is necessarily the best information.
But even if I get past, okay, I'll get past the pollute the process point. Let me get to the whole, the guy who is the head coach. I mean, this is a pick that is changing the direction of your franchise, right?
Well, they didn't talk about it a few days before.
I get it. But I think, you know, look, if you're going to take Trey Lance, wouldn't you have to go to Shanahan and at least talk about, listen, is this kid starting right away? What are we doing with Garoppolo? Is Garoppolo going to be here this year? We're getting calls about him and trade offers. You aren't figuring out the direction of the most important position on your team for the coming years. You know, I would think you'd want to have that discussion with Shanahan about what are we doing at quarterback? Because, I mean, if you're San Francisco, you're going to look at last year's record and probably throw it out the window and go, all right, a lot of crazy stuff happened. We had some key injuries. We had some opt-outs. We're better than that record. We're going to get things back together this season. So is the quarterback we're taking starting day one? Are we keeping Garoppolo? Is he going to start? Is he here just to train the quarterback we're taking to take over at some point? You'd want to talk about all this stuff with the guy who you are saying you're in charge of developing, the guy we're taking at three. The kid we're moving up to, get. You're training him. Wouldn't you broach it before 2 or 3 days prior to the draft to see what he's thinking? Just to get an idea?
Like,
are you on the same page? All right.
So the real question is, what happens if you get to that day and you're not on the same page?
Yeah, if Shanahan's beating the table for Mac Jones and Lynch wants Trey Lance, I assume the GM would win at that point. I don't know what kind of if there's someone who's got a final say on the roster in their contract. I don't know. You'd like to believe they would come to a consensus on which guy, but I assume if it was he wants one guy, the coach wants the other, I'm guessing the GM would pick the guy he feels is best for the franchise going forward.
Meanwhile, for a football standpoint, I'm thinking a lot about the dynasty leagues and the rookies in dynasty leagues. You know, who should be number 1, 2, 3? It was a quarterback-heavy draft. Quarterback isn't always the top position in dynasty, but if you find a guy like Josh Allen, that's different. Allen, I've seen Allen pegged as the number one fantasy guy this
really?
Year. Yeah, wow. Not just number one quarterback. I mean, quarterbacks score the most points, but
yeah.
So the number one quarterback, the most points. Allen's the number one player on
Mahomes
some
still.
Allen's more points. Huh. He runs for touchdowns. Allen's a fantasy freak.
Yeah,
and I've seen. You know, I'm starting to look at this for a bunch of my dynasty drafts. Like, which rookies? Who are the right guys? And Trey Lance is getting some attention because if Kyle Shanahan wanted his own Josh Allen, a guy that can run, a guy that can be a part of that offense where they run so effectively. Think of what they do with backs there. If they get a mobile quarterback that can contribute to that and score in close, and I mean, it's appealing. Trey Lance strikes me and. I mean, Trevor Lawrence runs, of course, really well, too. So you do have quarterbacks at the top of this rookie dynasty pool that move. Justin Fields was a great runner. So three of the four bring that element that you might, you know, raise them up the board a bit. Otherwise, you're thinking like Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts. It's a good year for rookie dynasty drafts. I'm I'm doing my due diligence. I'm not going to tell my GM who I like, though, until 3 days before the draft.
That's keep it secret. You know, you don't want to pollute the process. Right. Let me see, we'll see if Dave is still there. Dave, you there? If you are, go ahead.
Here.
Yep, there you go. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi. Yeah, I got a thing for overtime and all that in the NHL. Maybe they could go back to a system where you win, you get your 2 points, you lose, you get nothing. And then your overtime, you win, you get a point and a half. You lose, you get your half point. You tie, you get your one.
We could just do the 3-2-1 point system. That's like the same. I think that actually
it's kind of the same thing.
The math might work out to be the exact same.
Yeah, there's a third option basically is what Dave's getting to, right?
Yeah, win a regulation, that's three.
Yeah.
Win an overtime, that's two.
Yeah,
lose an overtime, that's one.
Yeah, I think I'm going to almost guarantee the NHL does nothing about this, doesn't even talk about it at its governor's meeting or whenever they would talk about this stuff. But, overtime has progressively gone from, wow, what a great idea, to, all right, let's back out of the zone and try and reset this thing. It's just become really, really boring. And for people who don't like the shootout and think it's gimmicky or it's run its course, the problem is overtime, there aren't enough teams that look at overtime as trying to go for the win. And it's more about making sure we don't give up possession, which leads to them getting the extra point over us. And that's, I don't think the NHL even talks about that this offseason probably. They probably don't even think it's an issue.
Yeah.
But
I think that's not far off of the idea being, you want to make what happens in overtime worth less than it is because it shouldn't match the regulation win.
803-0550 Paul's coming up in a moment. It is Wednesday, so tweet us today if you'd like a shot at winning a gift card to Jim's Steakout. That is part of Hoagie Hump Day. All you need to do is tweet at WGR550. When you do that, use the hashtag Hoagie Hump Day. That simple. We'll take all the folks who send us their tweets, and we'll get one lucky WGR listener and give that person a $25 gift card to Jim's Steakout. Jim's Steakout, get your hoagie on. Visit jimsteakout.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Paul Hamilton.
We should be friends.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
Knuff just pooped his pants.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Waiting patiently on our Western Hotline is our good friend Paul Hamilton, who is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Good morning, Paul. Did you get any of the free pizza that was given to Rob Ray last night?
I did not. Are you sure it's free? He didn't. Yeah, of course it is free.
It's got to be free, right? He has to parlay I'm Rob Ray into free pizza. Of course he does.
Yeah, what am I saying? All he does is usually mention them on the air, and next
I'm
thing
on the
you
air
know,
and
he's
I'm hungry.
He's got a smorgasbord there.
All right, I just thought maybe you and Cozio maybe just was hoping you guys were eating because it looked good.
No, Rob doesn't share his pizzas.
That's that doesn't surprise me. He's always been a selfish guy. He's always all about himself, as you know, Paul, very well.
What's he get on a pizza?
It was a steak and cheese last night, he said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which sounds good. I could go for one right now, actually. But, yeah, I think it was steak and cheese. So, listen, Michael Houser, do you want to retire his jersey before or after Ryan Miller's? What a story, huh? This is really cool.
Yeah, it really is a great story. And, 45-save game, and then he makes all three saves in the shootout. I mean – that was the thing too. I mean, he goes into his first shootout. He doesn't know these Islander shooters. Now they don't really know him either. Although they've been shooting at him now for two games, but it's not like he's been in the league and has a book on shooters and all that kind of stuff like Ryan Miller does. And he's able to make three saves in the shootout also, which is just an amazing story.
And the first period too, Paul. The way the game started and played out over the first 20 minutes. I know the Islanders did score once, but they were cranking out some really quality scoring chances, especially coming out of the gate in the first 4 or 5 minutes. And he was up to the task.
Yeah, they were. What were the shots? 21-9 in the first period, and. And it was right off the bat. I mean, he had to be sharp right off the bat. So there was no worry about him being tired from the day before once you saw him in the first period, because he was right on target and made some great saves. And again, the goal that they did score on him, they basically had run a 2-on-1 right in front of him, and Bevilier has a tap in. There's nothing he can do on that goal. So, and it was a shame. That's the one thing the Sabres, they're still in the habit of doing this. And, they score a goal, and very often that either team, that next shift is horrible. And it was that way again, 26 seconds after the Sabres do finally score and take a 1-0 lead, it's in their net. And that's the one thing, that whether Kruger's the coach or Granato's the coach. A lot of the times, that shift right after a goal still has to be better.
It's funny. I also thought to the first period last night for sure. The first goal was one of those. I think their D zone coverage largely has been better under Granato, but they are giving up more shots. And last night's there were breakdowns last night where guys were just open in the defensive zone. It was not a good first period from their coverage standpoint.
Yeah, the quality. I mean, he's been talking about, we've been giving up shots, but the quality hasn't been, the other team isn't getting quality chances as many as right. You might think they would be with the amount of shots they're getting, but they had a lot of quality chances in this one. And he was talking about after the game, basically it was very, very poor puck management. They felt they could still get back into the game, and, as he put it, their legs would kick in. They didn't have their legs at all in the beginning. They just looked like they were tired, and their decisions they made were bad. And, you get the bad luck when Bryson falls down.
Yep.
And next thing you know is a breakaway, and now it's 3-1. And you're two goals down again. And I'm thinking, well, the Islanders blew a two-goal lead last night. They're not going to do it today, especially with the way the Sabres are playing right now. Well, guess what? You get that goal before that second period is over, and that's the thing. Bjork scores, and now it's 3-2. You're going in to intermission, and now you only got to make up one goal in the third period, and sure enough, they did.
Paul Cousins was on a wing last night. I wanted to ask you, what was the reasoning behind that, do you think?
he's really been struggling lately, and rookies very often do that. So I wonder, well, you also wonder, is he still have lingering effects from his injuries that he's had this year? Is he hurt? Or has he hit the rookie wall a little bit? And I think they were thinking, you know, let's put him back, let's simplify everything for him a little bit. Let's put him back on the wing. He doesn't have as many responsibilities over at the wing. Let's just help him out, help him relax a little bit, let him take a breath, and you know, try to play better over there. So I think that's what was behind that. I just think he's hit a little bit of that rookie wall, and I thought actually there were times last night he played better, and then there were times. You know, I'm talking about that goal, right after the Sabres made it 1-0. He was down in the middle of that mess.
Yeah.
I think it's just to help him take a breath and maybe, just simplify things for him a little bit.
Paul with us on the Western Hotline. We were talking earlier that I think we've discussed this already this season with you, that what's been going on with the 3-on-3 overtimes, and I don't know, I honestly pretty much just watch Sabre games. Maybe this is just their issue, but that might have been the most boring overtime I ever saw.
Yeah, that was Exhibit A, if you were talking about, you know, the overtimes, really the excitement in the air taken out of it. There was puck possession almost the whole time for the Sabres, and there was one shot in the whole overtime, and that was it. There was just nothing. And usually, I mean, there was a while in the NHL, every time there was 3-on-3, it was like breakaway after breakaway and goaltenders standing on their head, or, you know, I've seen 3-on-0s in overtime before. But, you know, this one, it was just keep the puck, look for the break. Now we don't see the break there. Okay, we'll circle back. Well, all right, let's change. We'll take the puck back into our own end and we'll change. And now we'll bring it back up again. Now, the Sabres were good at, I thought, when they did lose the puck, on the occasion they tried to shoot, they got it back quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, they were good at going, all right, we don't have the puck, we got to go get it again. And they would get it back from the Islanders, and they did a good job of that. But it just seems like once they got it, they really weren't all that aggressive at all trying to move, you know, down towards the net, around the net, where you would get some type of scoring opportunity.
Paul, I don't remember if we asked you this. It's kind of backtracking to last week. I know you were, I believe you were on the Zoom call with Ryan Miller. You covered his entire career. Any thoughts? What would you put into words when you reflect back on Ryan Miller?
He was a guy that cared. He was a person first, you know, and he cared about this community. And yeah, he asked to leave, but I understand. I mean, and I hope the fans understand too. He loved Buffalo, and he would have loved to have stayed here and been part of a winning team, but he was at a point in his career, he didn't have the time to go through the, quote, pain of what Darcy Regier was talking about. And he hears that, and the Sabres are in the middle of a season that they're the worst team in the National Hockey League. So, you know, he wanted to go somewhere where he thought he could at least have a chance to win. Now, it didn't work out that way for him, but and he never lost his love for this community, and he talked about it, and he wants to bring his son back here to show him where he grew up and where it all started. And it's important that he does that to him. And he always, I have memories of him off the ice. I remember seeing him at Klein Hands Music Hall playing guitar with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. You know, he had his event, on the runway every year that he would do for charity. They would all dress up in different themes. The whole team would, and they'd be walking the runway like models and all that, and interacting with fans. And you could see him in bars now and then with his guitar, playing guitar and that type of thing. And so it was more than just memories on the ice. There were a lot of things, off the ice. And to me, it's something I'll never, ever forget, because, sometimes the media and he could be a little prickly at times, but it's because he cared, sometimes, athletes and media don't get along at all. And sometimes media is hated by athletes, but I remember after I got back, after my wife passed away, and I walked in over at the old Pepsi Center in Amherst, and the first person that walked up to me was Ryan Miller with tears in his eyes as he gave me a big hug. You know, and I'll never, ever forget that. Because to him, we were people first. We weren't athlete media or anything like that. And it's just something I'll never forget.
Paul, you're killing me. I didn't ask the question to make me cry. All right, that's a really awesome story. I'm glad you shared that.
That's the way he is.
Yeah, awesome. Very good. I mean, I teared up on his Zoom call when they were playing all the tributes from all of his former teammates, and there were so many Sabres there. And I just think it's awesome. I mean, as a player to sit there, I always thought the toughest thing for me over the years to cover were retirement press conferences. And I don't care if you played for 15 years. Or maybe even worse, if you played for two and an injury shortened your career. These guys, I learned over the years how much the sport and playing and competition and teammates and camaraderie and all that mean to these guys. And then no matter when that day comes, when you realize that's it, like the next season, I'm not going to be at camp. I'm not going to be in the locker room with the boys. We're not going to be on the road trips. The finality of that moment is really tough for these guys to take. And I always think about that is Ryan Miller sitting there going, man, 18 years? Wasn't I just in Rochester the other day? And now, you know, next September, you're done. You're not going to experience that ever again.
Yeah, and a lot of the guys in the video, Vanek, Pominville, Gostad, Coletta, Briere, I mean, they were all in on the video talking to him. And he didn't lose it until his family got in on the video. Then that was kind of when he lost it there. And, you know, this is a little bit different of an announcement, too, because he still had games to play.
Yeah.
You know, and he did play. He played the final home game for the Ducks this year against the Los Angeles Kings. And now, unless they run into a bunch of injuries, he is done. That is going to be his final game. So, but he did real well. He only gave up two goals. They won the game, and every Los Angeles King lined up after the game to shake hands with him, like, you know, the playoffs, like they do. And a lot of those guys have played with him on Team USA. There's some Americans, you know, Brown and Quick, and a bunch of those guys, you know, knew him from Team USA.
I was just going to bring up Team USA, Paul, and say, like, it's one of those instances where when the league tries to figure out what to do about the Olympics and we say grow the game, it doesn't always mean that you're going to get these monster television ratings from non-hockey fans. But what you do in the case of Miller is you introduce all of hockey to a player that maybe they don't see all the time, right? Think of how many American hockey fans became a fan of Miller in that tournament. He gets that standing ovation in Pittsburgh after the after the tournament. And the fact that that happens in the Kings with the Kings and around the league and that he's known is probably a function of the fact that he played for Team USA. And for a lot of people, he became America's goaltender. You know, the value of those Olympic tournaments for the league, they miss out when they don't go.
Yeah, he had a great turn. I mean, he almost stole Team USA a gold medal. I mean, they lose in overtime. And you talked about the standing ovation he got in Pittsburgh. Sidney Crosby didn't get that.
They
were a little cranky with Sidney because he's the one that scored the overtime goal. Yeah. So there was polite applause for Sidney Crosby, who is in his home building. But Ryan Miller gets a standing ovation and, you know, the fans screaming USA.
Well, Mr. Hamilton, as always, sir, appreciate you giving us some time on the show. Have yourself a marvelous day. And in case I forget, we will talk to you on Friday's show. You're booked now.
Okay, and I've been trying to get your video together. I've been getting a bunch of Mets to see if any of them would help us out with
retirement
video for Howard.
You know what? The Howard's retirement video will be 10 minutes of people remembering where they were when he picked the Bills, and it'll bother him.
No.
He'll be so upset about
it. No, it'll be 10 minutes of people complaining that I never tried peanut butter for 50 years.
I was just about to say, it's the 10 minutes that people will just say, I remember the day when Howard first said he never tried peanut butter until he was in his 50s.
Do you remember the day we learned he didn't eat fill in the blank?
Apple pie?
Yeah, right.
This is a guy that never ate fruit.
Never ate apple pie either.
And I've got the waistline to prove it, fellas. All right. Thank you, Mr. Hamilton.
Take care.
All right. Paul's segment brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this hour. We're picking the Bills at 8:15. You know, I think I've got an appointment at 8:15. I've got to step out for about 20 minutes. I don't know.
If, oh, yeah?
I'll check my schedule and see if I can make 8:15 work.
There's a reason that we have a phone line that we can connect you to.
Well, I already know Del Reed already guaranteed he's going to have an angry tweet with me. Whatever it is. He already told me he's going to have an angry tweet.
Maybe instead of a Howard Picks the Bills shirt, we just have a shirt where people say, I always get mad at Howard when he picks the Bills.
I would actually be the first one to buy that shirt. If he does that, Jeremy, I'm in. I will buy you guys shirts if Dell does that.
All right.
And, of course, it would go to a good cause. So, sure. Right. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550-WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, let's give away some Genesis tickets. They're going to be at KeyBank Center Saturday, November 27th. Tickets are courtesy of Magic City Productions. You can win a pair of tickets, at least have a shot at it, by calling 644-9878. We did caller 10. We did caller 12. Today, I'm vibing 15. By the end of the week, we're going to be at like 1,047.
I was going to say, we should honor Michael Hauser and go caller number 45, which is 45. Say it. No,
answering the phones, man. I have no problem.
I'm only doing 15. Call 15.
15-644-9878. Call now for your chance to win a pair of tickets, 644-9878. If you don't win, we will have tickets to give away tomorrow and Friday. Afternoon show's giving away tickets. Plus, tickets go on sale this Friday at noon at Ticketmaster.com. And if you signed up to try and get pre-sale tickets, you should have gotten some kind of text message last night about that. I know I did. So you could get tickets as of 10 o'clock this morning if you went through the pre-sale route.
What's the number one pick in a Genesis song draft? Is this it?
No.
No?
No, 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 no. For me, no. Okay, what are the Genesis songs on my iPod? Abacab is on there. Turn It On Again. I'm going to turn it on again. What am I missing? Tonight.
That's
tonight,
all.
Tonight. I've got, I searched no Genesis song all. List, yeah. And I've got.
Go ahead, hit me with it. Go ahead.
Jesus, He Knows Me, Land of Confusion.
I actually think Jesus, He Knows Me is a really good song, and it's a really, okay, it might be sacrilegious for some people, but please don't tweet me. I think it's a good song. Go ahead.
Hold On My Heart, No Son of Mine, Turn It On Again's here. I Can't Dance.
Not bad, but certainly not number one.
I would say not on my board, I Can't Dance.
It's okay. It's a cute video.
Let's see here.
And you're going, you said Lamb Lies Down, right? That's some of the older stuff.
Yeah, really old stuff.
Yeah, yep.
So, I don't know. All right.
What's the, which one is the song with the great drum solo?
In the Air Tonight?
That's a great song. I love hearing that live,
wasn't
like hearing
Phil
him perform
Collins
that.
Song,
it was
though,
Phil.
Not...
Yeah, that's.
Oh, that's
Phil
true.
Collins.
It was his only. Yeah, so I'm going to go Turn It On Again for me. I like Paper Late. Also, is a good song.
Is Genesis is? How many original members are there in it still?
Three. There will be. Although Daryl Sturmer, I think, is the guy, the guitarist. He's going to be back. It's Mike Rutherford. It's Tony Banks. I wish you would.
Rams quarterback?
No, isn't it? What's the other guy? The big three. It's Collins, Mike Rutherford, and who's
Loggins,
the other guy?
Loggins and Messina.
No. Genesis.
Hall and Oates.
Group.
No?
No. Who's the other?
Kenny and Dave Loggins. Collins, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. No? I got that wrong again?
You're killing me.
I know all these groups.
I came in after Gabriel. Tony Banks. So it's Phil Collins, Tony Banks, and Mike Rutherford, but their drummer had been with them has Anthony Phillips? No. Who's their drummer? I don't remember. Their drummer
Wilson
was with them for a long time.
Wilson Phillips is who you're Not, thinking of.
You know, what are you doing this to me for? My memory's bad enough. You're throwing all these other names at me. Chester Thompson is the drummer I think I was thinking
Chester.
Of.
Copperpot?
No, and then Daryl Sturmer, not to be confused with Daryl Williams. Daryl Sturmer was with the band for a long time. I think he's on this tour.
Okay. We got to have you pick the Bills at 8:15. I have a pregame show to Howard Picks the Bills. A couple questions for you, like a pregame press conference, because you know there's some questions. You got to know what you're thinking going in.
I don't take questions.
Yeah, well, you're gonna.
No, I questions. Just pick the Bills. I don't. This is not open for Q&A. I don't take questions. Making a statement and not taking any questions from the press. You guys get under my skin, all of you media types. You're just out for negative stuff. I just don't understand how people could do that job for a living. All right, we'll do that. Brayton, you gave away the tickets, right? So if you didn't win, don't worry about it. You'll have another shot tomorrow and another shot Friday with us. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. I'll get the coin ready. Picking the Bills in the next segment. WGR.